Okay, good morning. Welcome to Wireless and Mobile Networks. And so I think probably most of you recognize me. I'm Jennifer McManus. And there are my contact details. The easiest way to get in contact with me is either after class or via email. And I'll be happy to either deal with problems through the email or make an appointment. If it can't be dealt with that way. As with a lot of these modules, all the course material is on Moodle/MOOC. And so if you're registered for the module, you should see it in your list of modules. If you're having trouble with your registration, email me and usually I can get you, if not enrolled in the module, then at least access to all the material. But we'll sort that out to just let me know, because it's obviously better to have the material than not. Okay, so this module is offered to the fourth year ICE students over there. And can also be taken by the master's students over there. So you guys may or may not have run into each other before, so be friendly and help each other out. The structure of the course is pretty typical at this level. You'll get a 3-hour lecture slot each week, and then your continuous assessment will consist of one assignment, which is going to be NS3 based. Okay, so again, a lot of the master's students will probably already have encountered NS3 and may very well have it installed. We will have demonstrators to help you with the issues of how you get that installed on your own machine, or all else failing, we can install it on local machines as well. Usually I don't assign or give out the assignments till pretty much the middle of term, and it's due at the end of term. This is to try and sort of accommodate the final year schedule and not have it due at the same time as their final year project. So it will, and it also sort of suits in terms of when we get to the material that's relevant to this assignment. So I'll be giving you more details of the assignment sort of in due course. Typically, because it's a 3-hour lecture, I'll split it up into two segments with a 15 or 20 minute break in between the two segments. Because I'm sure you guys don't want to sit for 3 hours or 2.5 hours, and I can't talk that long. This lecture is really just should be review for everyone, and I'm not convinced it'll take that long, so possibly if I'm really on a roll, I will break that 2-segment rule and just get it all done. It's a reasonable amount of time. If it's going on, then I'll take a break. Okay, so most of what I say today should be review for everyone. Okay, certainly I know the fourth years, they've had 2 networks modules, so you know all about layered models, circuit switching versus packet switching. What you might not have encountered so much is just wireless networks and sort of how they fit into all this sort of abstract, all of these abstract models. So Having said that, we'll be talking a little bit about this, not a whole pile. So, anybody who's any master student who's taken my modules for E-509, for instance, will see the beginning of this, which is just a review of it. So, really, yeah, network highlights in an hour or so. Okay. So we'll talk about what we're trying to deliver and the design aspects of how we've built networks in order to deliver one or more types of data. Okay. And we're living in the digital age now, so there's a massive number or types of applications available all digital. And so this goes from file sharing, web browsing, voice over IP, streaming video, and these are sent these are accessible these days almost everywhere. So you don't need a desktop computer. Nowadays you have your smartphone, and all of these are all these types of things you can do from your smartphone. Having said that, how that's accomplished on a smartphone and versus a desktop can, the details will vary. We'll go over various approaches to this as we go through the course. Okay. From any network perspective, the big challenge is to match the requirements of the application to what the network can actually provide. And so, in general, applications require a certain bit rate. They have more or less tolerance to delay. They have more or less tolerance to loss. And they have more or less tolerance to variation in delay. So, again, you can think one end you have maybe file transfer. So, you can have a reasonable amount of delay. It can get there reasonably slowly, but it doesn't matter if, parts of it get there faster and then there's a little pause and more parts get there. But loss is a real problem. Okay. If you're streaming a video, on the other hand, bitrate is very important because packets have to get there in a timely fashion. They have to get there to be played out. Some delay can be tolerated. Loss can be smoothed over. Loss can be tolerated. But variations in delay can cause problems because, again, the playout has to be at a constant rate. Okay. So, the first thing we'll do is we'll talk a little bit, again, very high level, about the application requirements. And as we go through the module, then we will talk about the approaches of various wireless network solutions to catering to network requirements. Okay, so what we said about the TCP/IP stacks and your standard internet solutions is they don't care. You just sort it out. Various wireless solutions have added some support for quality of service. Okay. So you can favor certain applications over others in terms of resource allocation. Okay. terms of applications then, again, there's loads of them. They have different quality of service requirements. All of this is pretty nicely summarized in the ITUT recommendation G1010. And so what that does is it surveys what sort of applications are out there, and then it, and what the QoS requirements are, and then it bins them up according to these requirements. Okay, and we'll look at the G1010 in a minute. Okay, so the purpose of a network is to deliver digital data, and again, I think actually the concept of analog transmission is sort of falling out of consciousness almost. Radio is still analog, so FM radio would still be an analog example, but pretty much everything these days in terms of transmitted over networks is digital. Yeah, we'll just assume that it's digital. Again, as I've said, the requirements for the data delivery depend on the applications. Again, another example, this is sort of classic telephony versus data transfer. Voice data, again, has is classically represented as a constant bitrate stream. Okay. And you know, the gold standard of voice data transmission is 64 kilobits per second, and that's an analog signal sampled at twice the frequency range, so that allows you to reproduce that analog signal, and then that sample is digitized with 8 bits. So that gives you quite a good reproduction of the original analog data. Because of the application now, because the ear will smooth over problems where it's okay to lose samples. Again, contrast that to file transfer. The rate's not important, but loss is a problem. Okay. Again, the data all has different characteristics. So at one end you have control messages, so they're short, they're bursty, and we don't know when they're going to come up, but responding to them can be important, and you know, loss of them frequently is a problem, although maybe not. And again, streaming applications, rate becomes very important, delay is important, the variation, the variability in the delay becomes important. But on the other hand, they can smooth over loss. Okay. So, again, I'm not going to dwell on the slides. Just to note, again, what the G1010 did was they looked at all the different types of applications, so voice applications, voice messaging, streaming, file transfer, fax, and they looked at what their requirements were, so symmetry, the data rates, responsiveness, loss, etc. And so, you know, they did a very extensive survey of all of this. And so then, basically they sat down and said, well, what comes out of the survey? And in particular, you know, what can we, what might be useful for the networks to recognize in terms of data, of application characteristics. And so they categorize all the applications in terms of error tolerant or intolerant, so you can have loss or you can't have loss, and then sensitivity to delay. And again, if you think about it, that's a fairly minimal set of things to bin up your applications as, but those were ones that it was felt that the networks could maybe say something about. So, again, everything I say today is, you know, it's not going to be examinable, not direct. I mean, it's all relevant to the course, but it's not directly on topic. But it's what you should have in the back of your mind when you're having our discussions about specific networks or specific network architectures or specific solutions. Okay. So, the types of applications do matter in terms of the demands they make on network resources, and potentially, again, what sort of support the networks are going to choose to support various data delivery requirements. And so, again, if you think about TCP/IP and E321 last year, what we said was, well, you know, they're actually not going to do a lot to support anything. It's up to the applications to sort it out themselves. Again, various wireless networks are going to take, when they're allocating resources, will take quality of service requirements into account. So they will give more resources or more regular resources to a streaming video than they will to a file transport. And they'll think that's worth the trade-off. Typically, the distinction is, if you're talking about TCP/IP, you're talking about an end-to-end network. And again, what problems we encounter in trying to make any end-to-end guarantees. The quality of service support for wireless tends to be point-to-point. So the support is over the wireless link, which potentially then is linking back into the TCP/IP internet. But it still can make a difference. Okay. Now, historically, the two dominant networks were the telephone network versus the data network. And again, as we go through, we'll see that because of the different characteristics, telephone was designed to carry voice signals, and data networks initially were designed to carry, well, a lot of short signal control information, and you know, then things like files, data with quite different requirements. And so historically, the networks were designed differently because of the different data requirements. The design decisions made, again, have an impact on the quality of service and to provide different levels of support for quality of service. And and you know, again, have led to these different types of networks, which you know, are slowly starting to converge. So telephone networks spend a lot of their time, particularly cellular networks, transporting application data. Data networks will support voice traffic as well. Okay. So, again, I'd like to point out that networks have been around for as long as there have been people, pretty much. You know, people have always wanted to communicate outside of the range, outside of the range of their voice. So you would have things like, you know, signal fires, semaphores, even just messengers on horseback. Okay. And so, you know, you might have, you know, if you have a mountain ridge, you'll have fires set at various points, and, you know, one guy lights the fire, and there's, you know, when they're being attacked, and then when the next point on sees that, they light their fire, the next point on sees that, they light their fire. Similarly, semaphores would be sort of a line of sight thing. Obviously, you can't see as far from a semaphore as you can for just a big bonfire. So, you know, you'd have, the trade-off is you can convey a lot more information with semaphores, but again, one guy has his flags up, waving them, and the next guy on sees that and relays that message on and on. Messengers on horseback similarly. So we get a few basic characteristics of networks out of that. You have point-to-point communication, so there's how far can you convey an individual message, so how far can somebody see that a single signal fire? How far can somebody see a semaphore? If you want to move your information farther than that, well, you have to have a relay. So that information has to be repeated. So somebody has to see it and then repeat it. Okay. And you have resource sharing, so you can see, you can send possibly multiple messages over the same, using the same equipment. So, again, if we think about modern networks, telephone networks, data networks, they'll have these same basic characteristics. So we're going to have a point-to-point communication, so how far can you move bits over a single link? That's probably not as far as you want to send them. You're not going to have a single point-to-point link between here and China. Therefore, you have to relay those bits somehow, receive them and reform them and send them on. And, you know, between any two points, you know, we can't have a dedicated link necessarily. It's at some level we have to share the resources that are used for transferring the bits between multiple messages. So, we've talked about telephone networks versus data networks, and historically the telephone network has been around a lot longer than data networks. At least, you know, roughly 100 years longer. And the precursors of telephone networks have been around even longer than that. So, telephone networks came out of the old telegraph system, so the telegraph system sent coded messages along wires, so your Morse code, etc. And then, so you had this wire network essentially set up, and people just figured out how to send voice signals along it. At the time, those voice signals were actually analog signals, so they were a sound transmitted down the wire. Since the 80s, the signal that's been carried, the the carriage signal became digital. It was a sequence of bits, but it was still a sequence of bits with a very specific form. It was the sampled, encoded representation of our analog voice signal. So, despite starting out just still sending this very specific form, once you can send bits, well, you can change what the bits mean. So, building upon the digitization, you can now see your way clear to sending data as well as voice signals. Okay. So, again, our classic telephone network has all the basic network characteristics. You have to relay data from point to point. But, again, there's still a limited range. You can send your bits. You have to figure out how to share all these resources that are offered or provided by the telephone company. The way telephony networks share these resources is through what's called a circuit switch service, which is that we make a connection from end to end, and the resources on that connection are then not shared. Okay. Now, when I say you have resources in the connection, that can still be a fraction of the resources that are available to the physical link. Okay, so you can send multiple circuits traversing a single physical link. In terms of quality of service, well, the main knock on circuit switch systems is that the connections have to be set up, and this can take seconds, maybe even a minute to do. Beyond that, they're actually much better at providing good service than packet switch networks, but there are still delays introduced, so the signal has to physically travel, so you have a propagation delay. You have to form the signal into bits, so you have a transmission delay. So, in the late 60s now, so not quite 100 years after our telephone network, people started thinking about how now computers could be hooked up together and communicate with each other. Okay. And so the origins of the internet, the ARPANET, went live in 1969 and with three nodes. Now, the original purpose was to connect dumb terminals to mainframes, so computers were very expensive, and so, again, you needed to share your computer, and so you could allow people to access them through terminals, but then you needed some sort of communication mechanism. As computers became less expensive, and again, everybody got PC on the desk, then the emphasis shifted to having the computers talk to each other. And so the goals were, again, to allow communication, and also, since ARPANET was a military endeavor, there was a concern that it'd be robust in terms of failure. So if a bomb came down on part of your infrastructure, you still wanted your communications to go to So typically what that meant is that there were multiple paths you could take from one. So, and like the telephone network, again, you could have point-to-point connections of a certain distance, but then data had to be relayed from point to point to point to get to a final destination. And so, you need some protocols for doing this, and the winning protocols are the TCP/IP suite. Okay. And so these, the basics of these were proposed in the early 70s and adopted sort of again as the only game in town in the early 80s. So, again, sort of at the same time that the telephone network was going digital, the data networks were taking on the form that we know them today. Okay. So, again, we've got the idea of relays, we have the idea we've got to make good use of our resources. And again, this additional robustness, which essentially means there should be choices about how you transfer the data in terms of physical paths. Again, the characteristics of the data were different than a voice signal, so you weren't generating these constant bitrate streams. Typically, you were generating messages here and there. Okay. So again, if you think about connecting a dumb terminal back to a mainframe, the messages you're getting are people typing at the dumb terminal, and that having to be relayed back to the mainframe. Okay. So that's how that happens is dependent on people's typing abilities and what sort of interaction they're trying to set up. So you can have somebody type a word and wait for a response, etc. Okay. So this different type of data led to a different network designs and different paradigms for data transfer, and we get what are called packet switch networks. And so in a packet switch network, you bundle your data up into, pieces or packets, and bundle your data up into pieces, and then you attach some information that indicates where the data needs to go. And that becomes a packet. Okay. Now, again, when you think about transferring these packets, if you were to set up an end-to-end connection to send, say, a single character from your terminal, well, there's a lot of overhead to that. You've got to set up that connection, etc. And you've got to hold that connection until the character is sent. And, any given link is not going to be well utilized then. Okay. So, for purposes of network efficiency now, we need the resources to be allocated on an as-needed basis. Okay, so we don't set up an end-to-end connection, so nobody else can use these resources while I'm sending my character. Okay. And so we let, at any given relay point or node, we let the data be sent. Let's think of it for now on a first-come, first-served basis. Okay. So what does this mean in terms of how that data is going to be transmitted? Well, we don't have our setup delay anymore. we still have transmission delays. And typically, this packet has to be fully received and then transmitted on. So you'll now have a transmission delay at every intervening node, okay? Before, we had a transmission delay at the sender. Now we have one, an additional one at every intervening node. The packets still have to physically travel from point A to point B, so we have the same propagation. Now, in addition to the packets being reformed and sent at every at the intervening nodes, they also have to wait for resources to be available. So we get queuing delays as well. Okay. So if there are too many packets to be sent out on the link, they have to wait their turn. Okay. So what this means is that potentially you have a lot more delay in the system, and potentially also that delay is variable, so it's not predictable. Okay. So again, that's what happened historically. We had different types of networks, telephone versus data networks, voice versus data networks, and they were designed somewhat differently, fairly differently. Okay. What we're going to see with wireless networks is a couple of things. Well, on the one hand, you have the convergence. All networks trying to call carry all different kinds of data, telephone networks going to an IP format, so going to a packet data, packetized representation of data. But we'll also see that different wireless networks have chosen sort of different types of design solutions depending on, again, what their functionality is. Okay, so there is still, there's a division between cellular networks, so your cellular telephony networks, although again, they're moving very much towards IP transmission now. But they can be contrasted with data networks like wireless LAN solutions and other sort of more single hop solutions. Okay. So again, I think that these have that idea at the back of your mind, and I'm going to just now highlight basically two network concepts, the idea of network services and how that plays along with resource allocation. And so this is pretty much this idea of voice data is a certain setup favors voice data, certain setup favors more bursty data. And again, if you think about it, modern applications like video streaming sort of fall somewhere in between. So this is this boils networks down to a very abstract concept, but one again that's useful to think about and be comfortable with. Okay. For data networks, the dominant architecture is the layered network architecture. So you can think of that as the OSI 7-layer model or the TCP/IP protocol stack. But again, it's just an idea of how the problems of transmitting data through a complex system have been broken down. Okay. I actually say anything about quality of service at the moment, maybe I do, but you know, the design, as I believe it too, does have an impact on quality of service, but this is something that we'll be returning to as we look at different examples of wireless networks. Okay, there's a number of wireless networks have addressed quality of service issues, although again, this is at that first wireless link, not as an end-to-end solution. Okay. Now, if you've never seen networks before, well, I mean, it's at this point, why not? You guys, the fourth year certainly have, the master's students, well, you should have seen it in some module you've gotten. But again, if you're still uncomfortable, do get a basic textbook and look through it. Okay, now I said I might blow through things in a single go, but I actually have forgot to bring my water, and I can feel myself needing to cough. So I'm going to take a short break now, and then we'll return and actually finish up with probably more than we've done so far. So, 10-15 minute break, and then we'll